Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray alongside Alejandro Moreno and Stevie Nicol. And the big news tonight is that the Antony deal to Manchester United is all but done. Ants on deck is the headline on the back page of the Mirror. Almost 100 million euros for the player. But it does look as though he is on his way as we now welcome in Stuart Robson and Marciano Vink. So tell us, Marciano, how good is Antony and will he slot straight into this Manchester United team?
Well, let me say first that Antony is an exceptional player. He's a very talented, gifted player, technical abilities up to the highest standard. On the other hand, he's quite a character. He gets some silly yellow cards sometimes, but he's an entertainer. He's a guy who can make the crowd go on their feet. And he's done it in Holland. He's done it in the Champions League. He's a really, really top-class player and also a Brazilian international. So I think he will be able to get into the first team with Manchester United straight away and do his trick. You know, he's a Brazilian guy, and most of the Brazilian players, they don't need time to adapt or time to get used to a certain level. Brazilian players, maybe because they're from the favelas, you know, when they arrive, they are straight away up to point, and they know what's needed to get the performance in and perform on a high level. So I think with Antony, it will be the same.
Do you like this move, Robbo?
Yeah, I think he's an exceptional player. He's got a lot of quality, but there's a lot of players that can do that job on the right-hand side. Ziyech was going to be a player that was going to come over from Ajax and be an outstanding player, doing exactly the same thing, playing on the right-hand side, coming on his left foot. We've got Mahrez, who does it brilliantly for Manchester City. Bernardo Silva did it in the second half in the game at the weekend. There's lots of players that can do that job. Is Antony going to be better than some of those players that we've seen in the Premier League at the moment? Only time will tell. I think he's an exceptional talent. He's got pace. He's got that little bit of trickery. He can score a goal. Is he going to make Manchester United a great side? Not at the moment. Maybe in years to come.
What would you think of that, Marciano? What Robbo's just said?
No, he's absolutely right. But, you know, what I said, Antony is a guy who really knows what he wants. And he is also one of those players who can, even in a very tight match or a match which isn't going a Man United's way, he's always able to find that little hole and score a goal or even create something for other players because he's that exceptional. In Amsterdam, a very critical crowd, you know, he came in and he conquered the crowd. So Ten Hag really wanted him, I understand it.
We were talking yesterday, actually Don had said and mentioned Hakim Ziyech, we've just mentioned him there again, somebody who can be really good on their day but doesn't start regularly, and having him mentioned here alongside the likes of Hakim Ziyech, is that a concern?
I think that's a little harsh on the player, to be honest. I can understand the comparison.
But you can blame Don Hutchison as well.
I'll blame Don, definitely. I don't think any of us can question the ability of Antony. I think what we have to question is how's Antony going to get on the ball to produce all the things that we've just shown and all the things that we're talking about? Because right now, Manchester United are not a side that are dominating anybody in the Premier League. Anybody, I don't care whether they're bottom of the league or top of the league, they're not dominating anybody. So the first thing they're doing right now is getting behind the ball. I don't know whether Antony can do that. And right now, that's how Manchester United are. They're starting from the bottom. And the first thing they're doing is defending and keeping it tight and having a nice solid line and a solid base. Not not let's get Anthony the ball on the edge of the opposition box and let him do his stuff. So that would be my concern. My concern is not whether the guy's got talent. Is he going into a United side that's ready for him? Never mind him, ready for them.
What do you think of it all, Ali?
Well, when you think about where Manchester United are, and we asked, we begged Ten Hag a couple of weeks ago to go back to basics. That was a discussion on this show, and that, look, you got to get a team that is willing to compete, that is willing to defend. And then you can figure out some of the things that you want to have this team be able to do on the field. But the first thing that you have to do is sort yourself out defensively. After that, you create the platform for success. Well, if indeed that's what you're trying to do, first and foremost, to Stevie's point, are you then asking Anthony to put his head down and work for you defensively first? Because if indeed you're building from the back, then he's got to buy into that right away. Now, the other question for me is, while Anthony is a great talent, consistency is also an issue. Consistency can be a problem for him and has been a problem for him in the past. Not even from game to game, from half to half. He'll dominate. This guy is capable of dominating the first half and then disappearing in the second half. It happens, and it has happened before, and I don't think, if you're Manchester United, I don't think you can afford to have a guy that disappears on you. Not right now. I love me some Anthony. I think he's a special talent, but he's got to find consistency in his game and his productivity in order for him to be the impactful player that Manchester United need.
Marciano, what would your concerns be, if any, for Anthony at Manchester United?
Just the moment that he gets into the team, you know, the Premier League is all about pace, high tempo, and compared to the Dutch league, the tempo is much higher. We saw it at Ziyech. We have seen it with Donny van de Beek. They couldn't cope. But with Anthony, I'm not that afraid that he will not be able to get to this level needed for Manchester United. I know that Manchester United is struggling, and I've seen the match against Liverpool. I've seen the last match as well. And the last match, you know, they really fought. Everybody had their concerns about Martinez. Everybody had their concerns about Malasia. Those two players played in the Dutch league, and they are now doing it for Man United. I do believe that with Casemiro, with Eriksen on midfield, Man United will dominate. Just give him the time, you know, just give them enough the time. And for dominating play on the other opponent's half, there's probably, in my opinion, not a better winger than Anthony. He can force defenders to make mistakes. He can go inside, outside. You know, we've seen him play, and we've seen him in the Brazilian national team where he's competing, fighting with Rafinha. But this guy is a special, special player. And I honestly believe that this is the level he wants to go to, and he will show England what he's worth. This guy is a character, and we've seen it in Holland, and I think the English people will see it as well.
What's been the reaction then in Holland to Erik ten Hag's back-to-back wins now with Manchester United, Marciano?
We were really delighted for him because we know what he's capable of. And me especially, I was really convinced that Martinez was doing well. I called him a little pit bull, you know, in the last time I was at ESPN FC. But then I saw the first two matches and I was, oh my God, what have I said? You know, the guy is failing. And but in the end, I knew this guy is, you know, he's really tough and really strong, although he's 175 in meters, but, you know, he's short, but he is fighting. So we were really happy that and Martinez and Malasia did well, and that Ten Hag got his first win against Liverpool, important win. And then the second win against Southampton was a fighting match. You know, they had to show character, and they did. So now they know that they have the character, they have the fighting spirit. So now they can build on more stable football, more dominant football. And I'm really glad that he took Maguire out, because he was with De Gea together. They were not good for the team, especially if you want to build up from behind and you want to go dominant. So I'm happy with Varane and Martinez together. And now they got a little showboat on the right wing. So let's go.
Robbo, what about you? Robbo, are you happy with Varane and Martinez together?
No, not at all. I disagree. I've watched Martinez. He played well against Liverpool. I watched the game really closely on Saturday against Southampton. And he might be tigerish. He might be aggressive at times. He got bullied by Shea Adams on two or three occasions. And Shea Adams should have scored. I thought he was very poor, Martinez. I thought he looked out of position on several occasions. He didn't win balls in the air, which you don't expect him to. But also, he got bullied in certain situations. So I was disappointed with his performance. And I think people were just saying that he played so well because he did against Liverpool when he showed a lot of aggression. But I won't be happy with that two centre-half combination, I don't think.
Are you convinced at the moment? Go on, Marciano. No,
In the end, he didn't lose any, headers for a very short guy. You know, it's a new combination.
The stats might say, but he lost some serious challenges. And he was out-muscled. Che Adams bodged him off the ball and should have scored from 12 yards. It was poor, poor defending. And I don't think over the course of the time, Martinez, everybody wants to say, oh, he's aggressive and he's this and he's that. I've watched him four games. Three, I think he's been poor. One, he played very well. That's not a good average.
No, that's probably it's not a good average, but the statistics show different. But name me a defender who is flawless and never makes a mistake or never gets bullied in the Premier League. I don't think there are defenders who are 100% winning all the duels. Give the guy, you know, time. And maybe it's a really, in my opinion, it might be a good couple with Varane. It's the second or the third match they play together. So, you know, it takes some time, but what he showed so far for being a small guy, and, you know, he will never fit into a Premier League football, I think he did his best, especially against Liverpool. And now he showed character against Southampton. Maybe it get better. In 2 months, we'll see again. And then maybe I'll say, oh, you were absolutely right. He is not suited for the Premier League. But for now, you know, the guy's showing character and really stamina. So I'm really happy with his performance. And he might make a mistake. So give him credit. I think he will be a really good Man United defender in the future and for now.
Stevie, Robbo is absolutely not having him.
I'm afraid I'm in the Robbo camp.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, I'm in the Robbo camp. I think you can give him credit for the Liverpool game. Yes, he was tigerish and he made challenges.
Tigerish? Did you say tigerish?
I did.
Okay.
But I'm not convinced. I think he's definitely is a problem.
Would you prefer it if he was lying?
I wish I could remember. There was a ball. I remember a ball, Southampton. It came from the right-hand side and it was whipped into the box and it went right over his head and he was caught underneath it. And they were lucky that there was nobody following up in the far post. I can think of a lot of situations from his first game to now where he's made mistakes. And I think we all agree he's made mistakes. Now, yes, is it a little early to turn around and say that he's not a centre-half in the Premier League? Because it's only three games, I won't say that. But I've got to say, I'm not a huge fan. And I wouldn't be comfortable if he was my centre-back.
What about the optimism of Marciano?
I understand, but the one thing I agree with Marciano is that give him a little bit more time. Because maybe because of the pace of the game, his starting position has to change. Maybe he's getting caught underneath it because the ball's coming in a lot quicker and he doesn't have time to react. So maybe he needs to take a step back before the ball's played. So I'm trying my best here to try and help Martinez, but only because there's only three games in. But as I said, I wouldn't be that happy if he was my centre-back.
Come on, the positive energy, okay, Marciano. Come on.
We came from Lindelöf, Maguire. Okay? So if I had to put my money on two centre-backs, I'll go for Varane Martinez instead of Maguire, Lindelöf.
Well, I wouldn't argue with that.
There you go. So now
I wouldn't argue with that at all. Doesn't mean it's great, but I wouldn't argue with that.
I mean, it didn't start well at all, but it doesn't have to be great, right? Right now. Anything's an improvement at this stage.
Well, the bar was very low.
Yeah, the bar was very low. Put it that way.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So we're all agreed, except...
Apparently. Yeah. Well, no, Rob was just angry all the time.
Consider Martinez is 5'9". He might suit him, the bar being low.
Oh, and one more thing.
Oh, all right, here we go.
Marciano.
One more thing. The funny thing is that the only player who Anthony had real problem with and even got irritated and you know, just hit him in a sneaky hit in a duel is Malaysia. So now they're playing for the same club and playing for Manchester United. Malaysia is the only player who could really take him on, and he could never pass him, not on the inside, not on the outside. Malaysia was like a tigerish against Anthony. So now on training ground, I'd really love to have a camera on training ground when they play 11 against 11, Malaysia against Anthony. It's going to be spicy, really.
There's been a good enough duel here tonight, I think, and a bit spicy. Marciano, before we let you go, do you see Manchester United finishing in the top four this season?
It's going to be hard. Honestly, it's going to be hard because there are so many good teams in the Premier League, and the Premier League is the best league in the world. So Ten Hag is now building. He's like making big decisions, you know, Maguire, Ronaldo. And this team needs time. This team needs to lose matches. They need to win matches. But in the end, he's going to get it all together. And I do believe that they're going to finish in the top six, top seven. But top three, top four is going to be hard because the other teams are much further and, yeah, maybe a little bit stronger.
Well, Marciano had me all convinced about Lisandro Martinez. He had me all convinced about Malaysia. I was convinced about Anthony. And then we asked the question, are they going to finish the four? No, I don't think so. Oh.
Don't worry, none of you lot said it either.
This is the honest truth. I'm not going to sell anything, you know, like, you know, I have to stand behind what I say. So in my opinion, it will be great if they finish fourth. But I have to be honest, sixth place, seventh place for this Man United in this moment will be great. And next year, they're going to harvest.
There he is.
Thanks so much for being with us, Marciano Vink. We look forward to hearing from you again in the near future. And speaking of competition for places, Martin Dubravka could be on his way to Manchester United. It seems as though there has been a loan deal agreed between Newcastle and Manchester United as a competition for David De Gea will be in place. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Just taking a look at the Premier League standings. United are now in the top 10 after back-to-back wins. And we now welcome in Mark Klassenberg. Stuart Robson's still with us because it is time for Ask the Ref. Oh. We are starting.
He dressed as a ref.
Yeah, he's got his gear on.
Pick out both of the outfits today, right?
What?
Mark insists that he's not dressed as a referee and this is for Newcastle United.
Oh. Either way.
What's the difference? There's a difference.
Either way, the kick is good.
Yeah. All right. Let's start with the Southampton-Manchester United game then, shall we? Because of the possible penalty for the Scott McTominay handball that was not given. Mark, tell us more about this moment.
I think once it comes off the chest and McTominay moves his arm to the ball, as you can see it there, his arm's outstretched, it's making his body bigger. He probably handles it about three times, but the first one, for me, is more of a handball. The second one, it drops onto his arm. The third one, there may be a small movement, but for me, that first one, where he makes his arm bigger, for me, this should be a penalty kick.
You agreed, Robbo, handball too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, he's close to it, but his arm was out. He gained an advantage because he stopped Che Adams getting it down and doing whatever he wanted to do with it. So, yeah, penalty for me.
Stevie?
No, I think he's too close. I think he's too close. I don't think there's any way possible. You know, if you just go by the, oh, well, his arm was up, I don't know where else he could put his arm for a start. But the fact that he's, I mean, he's about 12 inches away from Adams. What possible chance has he got of getting his arm away from the ball or even know where the ball's going to be? So I don't think that's a penalty.
No. But Steve, he touched the ball with his arm three times.
But again, he's standing.
Three times would do it, I think.
The two of them are hugging each other and the ball's rolling around between them. So I wouldn't have given a penalty.
Mark, Stevie's not having it.
No.
No, I think he's the only one that probably isn't having it. I think once that arm comes out, distance is irrelevant. He's made his arm, he's moved his arm towards the ball. He's made himself bigger with the arm outstretched. He doesn't need to have that arm outstretched. Distance isn't important to the referee in that situation.
Explain this a bit. How does he move his arm towards the ball? Because his arm's already there and the ball rebounds off Che Adams towards him. How does he know? You're telling me he knows that Che Adams is going to hit the ball towards him and he's going to put his arm out and hit it? I don't
Stevie,
think so.
Stevie, when you were manager of the New England Revolution, you'd have been, and it was one of their opposition's players handballing it, you'd have been up screaming with the late Paul Mariner, having a go
of
at the fourth official, having a go at the referee. You'd have got yourself a penalty, wouldn't you?
Of course I would have screamed. But I've screamed for a lot of things that weren't
including
fouls,
me.
Including this guy.
Yeah.
Just to try and get something for nothing.
100% a penalty.
Yeah.
That's a handball.
I don't think you're convincing Stevie on that one. Let's see what you guys think of the next one. We're going to go to the City Palace game. We know that Haaland got the hat-trick in this game, his first Premier League hat-trick. But should he have been on the pitch? Should he have seen red for his challenge on Joachim Anderson? Anderson received treatment after this high-footed challenge. Caught there. Mm. But escapes caution, does Erling Haaland. Should he have, Mark?
I think what the argument will be is it a high foot? Is it a dangerous player? I think a lot of people are arguing, should the VAR get involved because it's a serious foul play because the foot's high? I don't believe Haaland's looking at the ball. He's raised his foot to bring the ball down. And what you do see is the defender is actually coming down slightly low. He's bent down to head the ball. And I just think it's a coming together. Yes, I believe it should be a yellow card, but 100% not a red card because it's just not one of them where he kicks him maliciously. He just wants to bring the ball down. What you do see from Haaland at the last moment, he does bend his leg at the last moment to try and avoid any contact.
Ali, if you'd been kicked in the head, would you have expected the kicker to get a red card?
Well, depending upon if I had put my head down to get to that ball. And that is, I think, the key here. Joachim Anderson actually brings his head down. And when he brings his head down, then the foot to the face becomes part of the play. I think a yellow card would have sufficed. No red card for me. I agree with the assessment.
I think you're all in agreement on this one, Robbo.
Yeah. I think he's trying to control the ball. So he's not actually trying to kick out at the player. It's a clumsy challenge or a clumsy attempt to control the ball. And the defender was going down. So, yeah, I'm in agreement. You could have given him a yellow card, but not a red, certainly.
All right, same game. We're going to move on to another incident in this game. It was Edouard's challenge on Edison. Now, Palace thought they'd gone 3-0 off, when Jordan Ayew goes on to score here. But the referee had blown the whistle for the foul on the goalkeeper, so no VAR intervention was possible. But this confused many supporters, Mark.
It's confused me as well, because I think goalkeepers have a union where if a goalkeeper's about to clear the ball and the attacker blocks the kick or the throw, then I can understand the law says that the goalkeeper has possession, he needs to be able to distribute the ball. We'll accept this. However, what you do see from Edison is he comes running out into the path of the attacker. The attacker doesn't move into the goalkeeper's path. He throws the ball out, and I believe this is an interception more than a block. And therefore, if it's an interception, for me, the ball becomes live and Crystal Palace have the right to score, and I believe this should be a good goal. But once the referee blows, the VAR cannot interfere. So therefore, the referee's decision's final. But I believe he gets this one wrong.
You believe it should have been a goal too, Robbo, right?
Absolutely. You know, Edison had every chance to throw the ball out overarm, you know, and get away from the player. But he's trying to roll it down the side of the player into midfield to start a quick attack. And I think the player's got every right to stick his leg out. He didn't kick it out of his hands. He actually rolled it into the striker. It should have been a goal, no doubt about that. And they got away with it, Man City.
Stevie, Shaka's not here today, but can you take can you be a spokesman for the Goalkeepers Union?
Well, if I'm the Goalkeepers Union, then I'm saying it's a foul. I think his foot's up before the ball was distributed. At the same time, it's one of those things that I think, having been involved in playing in the game, you understand that that's going to be given as a foul. Mm. Now, the way you change it is you change the rule. You change it from, if the goalkeeper's going to kick it out, there's no way anybody's ever going to argue that it's not a foul. So if the defender puts, if the attacker puts his leg up, they can change the rule. If it's being thrown out, then, in my opinion, I don't think you're doing anything wrong if the goalkeeper's trying to throw the ball out. So I think it's accepted that this is a foul. Because of the way the rules are right now. But guess what? Maybe you can change it.
Moral of the story is that stop protecting goalkeepers, because it seems like anything that happens in and around this sort of halo protection for goalkeepers, well, it's all well accepted, it's a foul. How about you just let the game play? And I think the mistake here is the referee blowing the whistle as quickly as he did. Hey, if it ends up being a goal, then we'll take a look at it. But once he blows in, the play is over, and now we're having this conversation as to we accept that this has been accepted over the course of the years that we play the game. The question is whether this is a violation of the law or not, or the laws of the game or not. And if it is, then call it a foul. If it's not, then let's play on and stop protecting goalkeepers.
Well, let's take a look at another incident involving a goalkeeper. It happened in the Chelsea-Leicester game. This is where we're heading to next. Harvey Barnes' challenge on Edward Mendy. Leicester thought they'd taken the lead here, but the ref disallowed the goal because of that foul. Had his arm around the keeper before he jumps for the ball, and the goal was disallowed. Mark.
There you go.
Yeah, you see, I thought, when I first watched it from probably the referee's view, I thought this was a good goal. I thought Mendy gets underneath it. I think, you know, we've always had this, goalkeepers would get overprotected, and I think we've got to allow physical contact between the attacker and the goalkeeper. But what you do see from the reverse angle, which is what the VAR had, you do see the arm around the neck. And the problem is, when you have that arm on the shoulder, around the neck of the goalkeeper, prevents him from jumping, and therefore he doesn't get a clear chance to punch it or catch it. So for me, once I see the replays from behind the goal and what the VAR sees, I wasn't surprised that it was given as a foul and the decision was overturned.
But Robbo, you don't agree with this. You'd like to have seen the goal allowed.
I'd like to have seen a goal, because to start it, the Barnes has got every right to stand in front of the goalkeeper. And it's Mendy that starts the pushing. He wants to shove Barnes out the way. You know, the goalkeeper, he's like every other player. He can't just shove somebody out the way. And that's what he was trying to do. And he shoved him into the ball. Yes, the arm is round the back of Mendy. But I think Mendy got away with this one. I think it's a poor piece of goalkeeping. He's got to be a lot stronger than that.
Thank you.
A bit harsh, isn't it? That's a bit harsh, isn't it? Yes, Barnes has got his arm round his neck, but it should be a goal. How'd you figure that out?
Because Mendy does the first pushing. Mendy does the pushing, then he gets caught underneath the ball. If that was two players jumping with each other, the foul wouldn't have been given. If it was two outfield players, the foul wouldn't have been given.
You've probably got 20 players in that penalty box who are all shoving each other anyway. And if you're just using your shoulder, if Barnes is just using his shoulder against Mendy's shoulder, then I'm with Robbo if it's that. But it wasn't. He had his arm around his neck. And so I think it's a good decision.
You know how I said stop protecting goalkeepers? Maybe we go and protect goalkeepers. This is a foul. This is a foul. And not only is it well accepted by players on the field that this is a foul and has been a foul, will continue to be a foul for years upon years. If indeed, and Robbo said it himself, you have your arm around somebody's neck, that will be a foul. I don't care if you're a goalkeeper or not, that's a foul.
I tell you what, VAR did well in two goalkeeping decisions this weekend. That one and the Leno one in the Arsenal game as well. Because if there'd been no VAR, I'm guaranteeing a referee who wouldn't have probably seen what happened clearly would have just given a free kick for the goalkeeper. And because of VAR, we actually get the right decision. It's a goal.
Look at you producing the show now.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Because of VAR. You know, can you imagine a world without VAR?
Well, yes. A world without VAR, the referee, would, without seeing anything, would have gambled and probably disallowed that. Oh. Would I be right there, Mark?
Oh, well, here we go.
Probably right, because how many times did you see that over the years without the VAR? They took the risk and they would give the easier decision, which would be the foul. However, now they're encouraged to play on and allow the VAR to sort it out, which is why VAR was brought in. So it gives the referee a chance for a second chance to see it. So I agree with Stevie that the referees probably would have played on the safe side of caution and probably just give the foul.
I can't wait to hear what Mark Klattenberg has to say about the next moment we are going to show you. Richarlison juggling. This received a lot of criticism, others very much defending him here. A little bit of few keep you up his 85th minutes for leading 2-0. A little juggle and a whole lot of backlash.
Perfect. Ask him for it.
Yep.
Give him a... Ask him for it. Don't disappoint him.
Clatter. All right. Mark Klattenberg, is it true that you wish you could send people off for showboating?
It depends when it is, but I think, you know, this is probably oversteps the mark. The winning 2-0, he's come off the bench, and I think, you know, that isn't accepted in the English game. And what he deserved, and I probably, as a referee, I probably would have had a bit of a smile thinking, you know what, you got what you deserved. Okay, the boy, the Nottingham Forest boy, got a yellow card. It was a yellow card, but Richarlison shouldn't do that, and he probably deserved what he got because this isn't accepted in the English game.
I want a showman from South America to give his take on this.
I do not mind Richarlison doing whatever he's doing, just like I don't mind when Neymar is doing it himself. Now, what is the common denominator between the two, apart from the fact that they're Brazilian, is that they're going to get kicked next time they get the ball, right? And so, while I don't mind that Richarlison is entertaining the crowd, if you will, if that's indeed what he's trying to do, okay, so be it. But I know full well that there's frontier justice on the field, and somebody's going to come and get you. This didn't take very long. Usually it takes a little longer than this, but this didn't take very long. Brendan Johnson says, you know what? Okay, come on down, 50-50 challenge. This is my opportunity. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to try to take the life out of you. I don't mind that either. Play on? Sure. You want to do this? Then this happens. There are consequences to everything that we do. Richarlison, you want to do this? You're going to get kicked. I don't mind it either way.
There's going to be more talk about this showboating on the latest edition of Extra Time. Stuart, Ale and Stevie will be answering your tweets. And let me tell you, that's one of them in there. Make sure to head on over to our YouTube page to always stay up to date with the latest on Extra Time. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills.
your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Okay, there has been an extraordinary developing story concerning Paul Pogba, which Julien Laurent has written about over on our website. He's here with us now to tell us more about it. Jules, what's happening?
Well, it's a crazy story, Kay, you're right. Heard about it a few weeks ago, and then on Saturday night, Mathias Pogba, who is one of Paul Pogba's older twin brother, published a video on social media saying that he had important revelations to make about his younger brother that would basically change all the opinions that we have on Paul Pogba. To what Paul responded the following day by sending to us and other media a statement saying that he was not surprised that his brother came out with a video like that. Clearly something was in the making already, and Paul knew about it. And revealing that his brother was basically at the heart of an attempt of extortion on his own brother, on Paul Pogba. We now know from what the investigation and the police investigation, both in France and in Italy, that Mathias Pogba, Paul's brother, and some childhood friends, let's call them that way, have tried to get some money off Paul Pogba. There have been some threats. They came to his house, to the training grounds. This also involves some blackmail over some witchcraft that Paul Pogba allegedly, according to Mathias Pogba, according to his brother, has done to send a curse to Kylian Mbappe. So it's all kicking off really within the Pogba family. And now we're waiting to see what the investigation comes out with.
So what does happen next? Is that just what it is then, Jules? We're just waiting to see how the investigation plays out.
There's a few things. First of all, we're waiting to see if Mathias Pogba is really going to say some things. I was told tonight that he might go on this very famous French television show, like a talk show, a daily talk show, where he could be part of the cast and reveal everything that he has to reveal. It's not clear if that's what he's going to do, or just take to social media and say, okay, this is what I want to say. This is all the proof I have, because right now we're waiting for proofs. We're waiting to see, for example, if he has, like the rumor has it, that he's got a video from Paul Pogba talking about the witchcraft involving Kylian Mbappe and the curse that Pogba has allegedly tried to send on Kylian Mbappe. Things like that, on top of course, the investigation both in Italy and France, where the police has been briefing a little bit on the kind of details that you would have, that, for example, Mathias Pogba and the childhood friends are asking Paul Pogba for 13 million euros, 1-3, reportedly again, which is obviously a big amount of money for some protection that they would have given to Paul Pogba through the years. We don't have much more on that, but that's what it seems to come out of the investigation at the moment.
Thanks for the insight, Jules. While we do have you, we do want to move on to talk about some transfer news. Lucas Paquetá on his way to West Ham. Tell us more about this deal and what type of player they're getting.
Well, they're getting Brazil playmaker, Brazil number 10. Well, not with a number, but certainly with a position. It's not every day that West Ham will get the starting number 10 for Brazil in their team. So it's an amazing signing for them. He's an incredibly talented player, a bit inconsistent at times, and if you look at his year 2022, for example, the calendar year, he's been below par, below what he's capable of, certainly at Lyon, but they're getting a fantastic talent that they paid for, of course, it's a lot of money, but he's still young and he's got an incredible technical ability. The thing is, for Paqueta to work at West Ham and in the Premier League, West Ham will have to change the way they play. You can't play the game that we saw against Aston Villa, for example, at the weekend, Lucas Paqueta in that kind of system, in that kind of style of football, is pointless. He needs the ball, he needs player around him to move a lot. He needs a team that has possession. Otherwise, the ball will go above his head and there's no point for Paqueta to play like that. So I'm really hoping, for his sake and for West Ham's sake, that David Moyes changes his philosophy and the way his team is playing to get the best out of Lucas Paqueta. Otherwise, he's going to be great at times, but if you want him good consistently, you need to build the team around him and he needs to get a lot of the ball with a lot of movement around him.
Okay, good to hear. So, Gavin Jewell's latest podcast dropped earlier today, and for once, they are back together on
hey,
it.
Hey, make sure okay,
to
all right.
Check it out.
All right, we got Gav's legs as well.
Let's resume.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Some Monday night La Liga action at Mestalla with Atletico Madrid taking all 3 points away against Valencia. Antoine Griezmann coming off the bench and onto the score sheet. And that, a victory for Diego Simeone's men. I'm sure that Valencia wish they could have had Edinson Cavani in the ranks for them. He was up in the stands ahead of the game after completing his free transfer to Valencia. And let's welcome in Stuart Robson as well, shall we? But I'll start with you, Ali. Let's talk a little bit about Antoine Griezmann. Mm-hmm. Can't be bad for him. A bit of a confidence boost to get in this goal, surely.
Yeah, sure. If you want to go and give the credit to Antoine Griezmann, does he make an impact off the bench? Of course he does. Does he get a lot of help? Of course he does. A couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about Atletico Madrid after their match against Getafe, I sat here with a lot of optimism, glass half full sort of thing, feeling positive about the approach of Atletico Madrid in the first game of the season. How long would that last? Well, it would last up until Atletico Madrid lose a match. And they lost against Villarreal. And so now Atletico Madrid goes to Valencia and says, you know, this whole attacking thing that we were doing against Getafe, no, we're not doing that anymore. And it became old school Atletico Madrid. Defending first, defending second, defending third, and then we'll get out on the counter whenever we can. They did create some opportunities on the counter. Had Morata had a better game, he probably could have and should have scored a couple of goals. Did not. Old school Atletico Madrid, you defend, win on an own goal, essentially a deflection. You give the credit to Antoine Griezmann if you so desire, but in the end, this is Atletico Madrid going back to what they know best, and that's defending, getting something on a counter or what have you, set piece, maybe, deflection, whatever is required, 3 points.
Robbo, when it comes to the Champions League with Atleti, what do you think about them this year? Are you as worried about them in previous years right now?
Yes, because as Alice has said there, not only did they defend deeply, they were outplayed in the first, I would say, first 60 minutes where Valencia had lots of the ball. They dominated midfield. They won all the knockdowns. And I didn't think, to start with, Atletico Madrid attacked particularly well on the counter. It was only when they made those changes and Griezmann came in and Lamar came in and they played with three further forward that they looked a much better side. But it took them 60 minutes to get going. You can't do that in the Champions League. You can't wait 60 minutes to get going. You know, they've got to play a lot better than that. They've got to show a lot more spirit. They've got to defend higher up the field. I know that's the way they play, but Valencia just didn't have enough in the top third of the field. If they had a decent striker, a good individual who could go past people and get shots away, they may have won the game. But Atletico Madrid have to play better than they did today if they're going to do well in the Champions League.
Yeah, not the best of starts for Valencia, but Edinson Cavani could change things for them, it's safe to say. Robert, I want to talk to you about Barcelona because we saw them over the weekend. Mm. We got to see what could look like a full-strength Barcelona as well. We now know that Jules Koundé is registered, available to play, as we saw. How do you rate them now that we're seeing them like this?
Well, you have to say that they were playing against a very poor side in Valladolid, who didn't defend well enough at times, but it looked a very good performance. You've got Rafinha on one side, you had Dembele the other side, the two midfield players, Pedri and Gavi, made good runs. Obviously, Lewandowski looks to be back to, or is playing at his best. He plays in between the penalty box lines, and he's finished a couple of great goals. And also, they look strong at the back. Araujo had a lot of confidence when he was defending. Koundé doesn't like playing at right back, but he did it quite well. And Balde showed a lot of promise down the left-hand side. I thought it was a very good performance. They won the ball back quickly. They looked threatening every time they went forward. And again, I say it was against a very poor side, but it was a good performance. And you think they will be challenging for the title this season.
Yeah, Robert Lewandowski as well. Got to see him looking very good. I'm just going to stick with you on that one as well, Robbo. How good did he look to you?
He looked excellent. You know, he's not going to be the link-up player. He's going to run the channel as he did when he first played for Borussia Dortmund. But what he did was get in the right places at the right times. He made good runs in the box. He was clever with his movement. And this was a great finish. It was the only way he could have scored. A little back heel through the defender's leg. Yes, it took a deflection. But I thought he was excellent. And he worked well with the other teammates. He settled in well. He dragged defenders out and it allowed Pedri and Gavi to make runs beyond him. Good performance.
We're talking about good performances. I wanted to just come back to you on Pedri. Remember last season we were talking about how you would swap your son, your eldest son, for Pedri? I don't think Pedri would have done anything to change your mind over the weekend.
We're talking about football here, right?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe. I would change my son for Pedri on the soccer field. Look, the truth of the matter is that when you think of Pedri in this sort of finish, it's the calmness with which he takes the chance. It is the calmness and the experience of a 30-year-old, of a guy who has been playing at this level for a decade. And Pedri simply shows that maturity everywhere on the field. He showed it in the finish, and I think that's something that Xavi wants more of him. That he is a real threat inside the 18-yard box. Because guess what happens? With Lewandowski already there, anytime that he moves in and around the 18-yard box, he's going to attract attention. And so it's going to open up a space for a trailing run. Where is that trailing run going to come from? It's going to have to be Pedri. And if Pedri is able to find those spaces consistently, and he's able to do this with his finish, now think of all the options that Barcelona has in the attack, of guys that can score from all sorts of different positions. Pedri was excellent. Not only in scoring the goal, but his ability to take touches away from pressure and the maturity of his game that is just, when you think about who he is, what he is, and how long he's been playing for Barcelona, he looks, again, like a 10-year-old veteran, and that's not the case. This is a guy that just came on the scene a couple of years ago and really has shown to be a world-class talent.
Yes, a teenager. In fact, when we were watching the highlights of those games over the weekend at the halftime between Valencia and Atleti, you were just like, wow, Pedri.
Scary. I mean, the goal reminded me of Toni Kroos. Mm. So if you're talking about players like that, and this kid's what, 18?
19.
And you're finishing like a world-class player that's been around for a decade in Toni Kroos, and you're probably going to eclipse what he's done and how good he is. Wow, what a player. Imagine having him on your team.
Yeah, but Ali, you've been in a lot of La Liga action over the weekend. You called the Real Madrid game. Mm-hmm. Left it late, they did. Karim Benzema to save the day at the end of the day. What did you make of them in this performance?
Well, they started very well, and they were all over Espanyol. Espanyol seemed to have no chance. But Real Madrid then decided that they were going to be arrogant about the manner in which they play. And they started carrying the ball way too long. They were trying to over-dribble, over-passing, not putting the game away. And then that allowed Espanyol to say, all right, well, we'll compete. We'll fight. We'll take into the attack in half, and we're going to force you to defend. And Real Madrid, at times, could not answer those questions. And so now you had a game out of nowhere because Espanyol had not been competitive for the first 30 minutes. And then after that, it became again for the next 30 minutes, up until, of course, Karim Benzema, who did not have the best game, but yet in the moment that matters, he's able to find himself open inside the 18-yard box. Great service on Rodrigo. The presence on Rodrigo and the attack coming off the bench made a difference. I think Real Madrid just had too many options coming off the bench where Espanyol is looking around saying, not you. Well, we'll just play with the guys we have here. And it just wasn't enough. So much so that in the end, it's Leandro Cabrera who's standing in goal. Which, let me just tell you something. If you are a field player and you say, yes, yes, give me the gloves and give me the jersey, and you're setting up the wall and you're looking as if you know what you're doing, at the very least, you have to dive. At the very least, you have to dive. He just looked at the ball going to the back of the net. 3-1 Real Madrid. Game, set, match.
I'm to the TV. He's like,
well, nah. Well, if he'd been in the place where he should have been, he wouldn't even have had to dive.
No. Well,
so
it was interesting what you said about Benzema there, that maybe not his best game, but still got the job done in the end. Very fitting of Real Madrid as well. Sometimes not their best game, get their job done in the end. Do you have any concerns for them this season, Robbo, from what you've seen so far?
No, because Ali just said it there. They're a much better squad than they were last year. They can make changes. Camavinga came on and showed a lot more dynamism. Rodrigo came on and changed things. So they've got a much bigger squad, a much better squad. Players can come on and change things when they're not playing quite so well. Last year, he had to stick with 10 players and another one that he wasn't quite sure about, whoever played on the right-hand side. Now he can change the system. He can change the personnel when things aren't going well. So I think they're a much better squad this year than they were last year.
Yes, would you agree with that?
Yeah, when I look at Real Madrid, and he mentioned a name there in Camavinga, that when the game got stretched, you saw this guy just running away from people, which, when you think of the players that are available to Ancelotti through the midfield, he provides something different in being able to do that. It's an ability of Real Madrid to be able to figure out what they need to do in order to win a game. So they may not seem all that convincing over the course of a full 90-minute game, but in moments in which they need to make game-winning plays, not only do they have the talent to do so, but they have something special about them in understanding, okay, now we got to engage in the game again. Now we got to go find a goal. They're able to problem solve on the go, and then they're able to score game-winning goals. And everybody's like, well, how did they win that game? Well, because they keep doing this. It shouldn't be a surprise by now.
A lot more talk about Real Madrid and all the La Liga teams over on our YouTube page. Make sure to head on over there to keep up to date with all the latest content. Make sure to click subscribe while you're there too. Thank you so much for being with us.
Stick number 8 should have been higher, I'm just saying.
Yeah. We are not done just yet. Robbo will be back with us because we're going to be answering your questions on Extra Time, including those about showboating.
Oh.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We have Stuart Robson alongside us, at Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol as well. Stuart, Stevie wanted to know if you're wearing your pyjamas today.
Oh, a classic pyjamas.
Oh, hang on. Last week it was a referee shirt you had to go about. This time it's in pyjamas. I can't be any worse than Dan's peach shirt that he wore the other day. He was live on that occasion. Terrible shirt.
I told Stevie, it's a bit of lounge chic as well now. We're live right now, obviously, as well.
They actually call it Cuban. That's a Cuban shirt. That's what they call it.
Oh, well.
Fashionista.
I've got another word for that.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Yeah. All you need is a hat.
I've got a few.
He had something to say about your tie as well.
What's wrong with the tie?
I was just like doing this with my eyes and squinting to see, you know, if something magic pops out. Do you remember though? In the 90s.
If you see it from different angles.
It's an absolute rascal.
Yeah. Stevie, it's a rascal. I've got a rabbit and some buds in that hiding in my pocket. I'm just about to pull them out.
Aye. All right, let's get to these questions.
But let's just establish that if indeed it's a pyjama for Robbo, it's a classy one.
Everything Robbo does
silky,
is classy.
It's silky, yeah.
To be fair, Robbo, I thought you might have thrown the Butlins one in with Alejandro's jacket.
No, I'll let Ali get on with the pink jacket. I don't mind a bit of pink.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Butlins, for those of you who don't know, is a vacation camp. In the UK.
In the UK.
A very cheap one.
Very popular in Stevie's era.
So if ever you need help, you get somebody with that jacket on and they'll help you.
Classic stuff, Stevie.
Hi.
Right, let's start with the first question then. Pep calling Man City soft, even after their comeback win against Crystal Palace. Is being called soft one of the worst criticisms you can receive from a coach, player or pundit? Have you ever been called soft and how did you react? I'll start with you, Robbo.
No, that was something never levelled at me soft. I think when I played for Arsenal for a little while, we were considered soft. We would lose to the big teams like Liverpool, Manchester United. They were the two big teams at the time. We'd lose quite often to Tottenham, who are our local rivals, because they were more physical than us. We had a lot of England players, but we weren't particularly physical. So we were called soft on many occasions. So yes, but the team didn't change. We carried on being soft and kept on losing matches. So it didn't really work for us.
At the time, it was the London teams, wasn't it? There was Arsenal, Spurs, same scenario.
Southern Softies.
They were called the Southern Softies. Because they were both made up the same thing. They had two or three guys they would put the foot in, but the rest, they wanted to be able to dance on it and give it all that and all that part, which they weren't allowed to when they played against us.
Not when they played against us.
No.
I would call it smart, Ali, some of your tactics.
Uh-huh.
Maybe some of the diving. Did that ever get you called soft?
No, because you could call me a cheater if you want to. You could call me many other things if you want to. I'm sure that you did, Stevie. I remember very clearly being very vocal towards me. But
there were a few ones before it and after it as well.
I don't think
was in the middle.
I don't think soft would have been one of them, though.
No.
I don't think that would have been the case. I do remember, though, young player, enterprising player in Caracas, Venezuela, that would be me, going to national tournaments in which Caracas, of course, the capital of Venezuela, and when we would go into national tournaments somewhere else in the country, our teams would be considered sort of the rich kids because you come from the capital, right? You know, sort of the snooty kids, if you will, and I guess the way to beat us was by kicking us, which sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But that was sort of the, if you're going to come to the other parts of the country and you're coming from the capital, it felt like, you're the big city guy. Here, come on down and we're going to kick you. And they did that very well.
Speaking of kicking people for certain things, which showboating is more annoying? Juggling the ball to waste time or pretending to watch time in front of your opponent while moving your hips like...
Oh, I know where this is going.
Oh. All right. Is there a video of this?
I know where this is going.
Head on over to Dan Thomas's Twitter see the video of this. Yes, it is Stevie Nicol doing that.
It was very unlike me. I don't know why I did it, to be honest. I couldn't tell you why I did it, really. It was right at the end of the game, and it was a guy called Terry Phelan, who was left back from Wimbledon, was standing about 3-4 yards away. And we were winning. And I'm in the corner, and all I'm trying to do is waste time. And I'm just feigning and kidding on that I'm going to do something. But I wasn't ever going to do it. I was waiting for him to get close so I could kick the ball off him to waste more time. But he never came anywhere near me. And then for some reason, I've just gone like that after about 10 seconds of jigging about and doing all this, I've kind of went... looked at me watch, I was not a showboater. I'll tell you that right now. I have no idea where
the evidence suggests otherwise.
I know, but I have no idea where it came from. I can't say I didn't do it because I did, but I can tell you I didn't do it again. How's that? And he never kicked me either.
I don't know if we sent you it, Robbo, but can you believe Stevie Nicol and these antics?
Yeah, as I've said many times, flash, arrogant. Thought he was much better than he was. Yeah, big time Charlie, yeah. He had all the wrong attributes to make a top class footballer, but there we go. That was Stevie for you.
The best thing about it is when you show Stevie the footage, he's like, yeah, I remember that week. I remember the game. I remember what I did that week. He just remembered everything about that week.
Yeah, Ray Houghton's first game came on the sub, just signed. Yeah, had a couple of things. A couple of days before it, that I told you that I want.
He had a rare night out that he thought.
Here's what I'm, Robbo. I used to go for a pint. When I went for a pint,
worry when you adjust your glasses before you're going to say something.
But God's honest truth, I always went out at the right time. I really did. You know, I wouldn't go out after a Wednesday if we're playing on a Saturday, that kind of stuff. But for some reason, I went out on a Monday night with my good lady for something to eat. And we were playing on the Wednesday, and that was the Monday night. And this never used to happen, ever. It was the only time it ever happened. The manager called my house on the Monday night for something, and the babysitter answered the phone. And so when I walked in on the Tuesday morning, Dal Gleeson walked up to me and went, "What do you think you were doing?" I went, just me and Eleanor went out for something to eat. And he went, yeah. He says, I know you're something to eat. And he walked away. And I was like, on Wednesday night against Wimbledon, I better not play badly. Because if I do anything wrong, this guy's going to be all over me. So that's why I remember this particular game as well. I remember everything around it because I was panicking that if I was bad, he was going to slaughter me.
When you were already walking a thin line, yeah, then you decided antics. This is the game.
No, I was just doing anything to waste time to get the final whistle, get the 3 points, and not get pulled off.
That would have been 2 points back then.
I don't know. Ooh. When did he change the points, Robbo?
That would have been 2 points.
It was about 1990.
88, that would be. 87, 88.
So Ale can add to the story further. All right, question for Robbo. Do you think Balde should start for Barca ahead of Alba? He's physically better and also improving his game every time he plays.
So the chap's answered his own question there, really, hasn't he? You know, he's a lot better than Alba. Jordi Alba's still a good player. He can still get forward, still got plenty of pace. Balde, I thought, was excellent. He had a good understanding with Dembele, who started on the left-hand side. I think at the moment, keep him in the side. They played well at the weekend. Keep Balde in the side. Give him a chance. He's good going forward. And if they do play with Koundé on the right and he tucks across to make a back three, he's the ideal sort of player to have on that left-hand side. Yeah, keep him in the team.
Do you agree, Ale?
There's a lot of facing out going on right now, Barcelona. Where is Pique? Oh, he's sitting over there. Where's Jordi Alba? Oh, he's sitting over there. And you're able to do the facing out because the team is playing well and the choices made ahead of these players seemingly are playing well. And if you're Xavi, that's exactly what you want because it says that you're making the correct decisions. Now, those guys that have had such an impact on this club for years upon years upon years are sitting over there and saying, is this how it's going to end for us? It very well may be that way for both Pique and Jordi Alba.
For all, Nottingham Forest has signed 19 players this window. Mm. Have you ever been in any team that's gone for a complete overhaul like this, Stevie?
Well, the closest I came to it was at Liverpool when Souness took over. And a lot of the reason why he made so many changes was because of the change of the rules in European football. All of a sudden, you could only have 3 foreign players in your starting 11. And our team was pretty much the opposite. There was only 3 home guys that were in our team, 1990? So around 90, between 1992, they changed the rules. So if you played in Europe, you could only have 3 foreign guys. So we had to get rid of a lot of players, and then he had to bring players in. So we ended up getting rid of, I don't know what, 4 or 5 players and bringing in 5 or 6. And just didn't work.
I was part of expansion teams that are not, you know, going from year to year. It's just a brand new team. So essentially, you're all walking into the room for the first time and you're meeting each other for the first time, unless you have played with somebody from years past. And you try to put 20 players together, 23 players together, whatever the number was back then, and you've never played on the field together, and somehow over the next 6 weeks or so, whichever, however long preseason was, you have to generate some sort of form of team and chemistry and understanding as to what we want to do and what the talent level that is available. Because when you put together an expansion team, it's not always the most talented group of players because essentially what you're getting is what the other teams didn't want, hence why I was available. So it's a challenging thing, and yet I think for technical directors and for coaches feels like it's a fresh start. So you're able to make decisions as to what players you really want. You're not coming into a situation where you're having to accommodate players that you don't really want. You're making the choices. So it's a refreshing start, if you will, but it's a complicated start because it's difficult to put together an expansion team that actually plays well and competes right away.
I think it's the perfect scenario would be if you could re-watch Spurs against Forest at the weekend and then watch Forest against Arsenal in the second part of last season in the FA Cup. Now, Forest today, you would definitely say they've got better players. But that team they had during that FA Cup run had been together for about 6 months. And the difference in the actual team play was huge. I'm sitting watching the Spurs game at the weekend, and that's what I went straight to the FA Cup games when they played Arsenal. where everybody knew what everybody else was doing. They were making runs, knowing the ball was coming. All of these little things that make such a difference when you're on the field. And you could see in this Spurs game that, as I said, Forest may have better players now on paper, but they're not together. You could just see
it. I'll play devil's advocate here, Stevie. I'll play devil's advocate. I did a game just after Christmas. Salernitana were bottom of Serie A by 6 or 7 points. And a new sporting director came in, a new owner. And for the next game, they had 10 new players. So they got a whole load of players out and it was 10 new players. And they avoided relegation because for some reason they got it all together. They started believing in themselves. The players they brought in were better. So it can work. It's very unlikely that it does work. But on this occasion, Salernitana changed their fortunes by changing the team completely. From one game, it was 10 players had changed from the game just after Christmas.
Yeah, and that's always a hard one to decide if you're coming up from the Championship. Can this team that play so well together here do it here? Anyway. That's all we've got time for.
Is Salernitana playing right now or what?
All we've got time for, Stevie Nicol, on today's edition of Extra Time. Thanks so much for sending in your tweets. I will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Join us then.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.